Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome everyone. This is Tall Paul, and this is the Ask Tall Paul show. Tonight we have a special guest named Christy Howard. She's a special friend of mine, and she wanted to talk about alopecia. And she has a mission to bring out an awareness of alopecia. And so, Christy, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me, Paul?
I can. Well, thanks for calling in. And alopecia is a word that I've known for many years because a friend of mine's mother had it as a child. But I don't think many people even know what that is. So why don't you tell us what alopecia is and how you came to know about it and have it within your life.
Sure. So alopecia is an autoimmune condition. Some people refer to it as a disease. I just say condition because disease just tends to have a very negative connotation. And autoimmune, if something is an autoimmune condition, it basically is fighting against itself. You know, like the body has somehow gotten confused and it's attacking otherwise healthy cells as though they were intruders, you know. So with alopecia, it is an autoimmune condition in which the body attacks the healthy hair, the cells that make up the hair follicles. It attacks them as though they are not supposed to be there, and it causes you to have hair loss. Now, that hair loss, there's many different levels of that hair loss. It could be, you know, complete hair loss, or it could be as little as like a little dime spot on your scalp, or it could be, you know, half of your scalp. There's so many. It could be all over your body. Alopecia is very unique in that there's all different types of alopecia. That I have alopecia areata. And I have absolutely no hair on my head. Well, I have peach fuzz. And every now and then, my hair will grow in patches on my head, but it does not grow completely on my head, which is why I just prefer to be bald, completely bald. And my alopecia, sometimes, you know, my eyebrows fall out from time to time. Right now, I have one eyebrow on the left and about half an eyebrow on the right, and I draw the rest of it in. Also, you can have alopecia totalis, which means that your entire body is hairless. You don't have hair anywhere. You don't have eyelashes or brows. You don't have hair like on your arms or any of the places where, you know, hair is prominent in the body, and that is alopecia totalis. So, there's lots of different variations. I have noticed that with me, my condition, sometimes I'll notice there is like a large area on my leg that has absolutely no hair, no matter how long I haven't shaved. So it's very unique. It's kind of spooky because, you know, sometimes I'll not have hair on patches of my leg, and I'll have to be careful when I'm shaving the rest of my leg not to go over those areas. And I've noticed sometimes the hair on my arm will actually fall out, and, you know, it'll grow back later. So it's a very unique condition, but, you know, it's very, it's more of a condition, just inconvenient as in that socially it's very tough on you socially. It's very tough on you, on your self-esteem, especially, I think, for young people. You know, for young adults and children, and of course for women, because, you know, generally speaking, women are supposed to have hair. So I lost my hair I started showing signs of alopecia, or had my first bout with alopecia when I was 29, and I had just a little small dime size spot of hair that fell out in the back of my head, close to the neckline. And I went to the dermatologist, and he says, "Oh, that's just a little bit of alopecia." And I was like, "Alo, what?" And he told me alopecia. He was like, no worries. You know, we can treat it. I'll give you shots," which at the time I didn't really understand what I was taking. He says, "I can give you an injection in your scalp, and then I'll give you these creams. You put this cream on every day and every night, and your hair will grow back." And he was right. It did. But a few months later, I got another spot somewhere else in my head. And I went right back to him, and he did the same thing, and the hair grew back. And I think that I went for about another half a year without any more signs of it, and it came back. And this time it came back a little bit more aggressive. And it's got to about, I'd say about the size of a silver dollar. Yeah, about the size of a silver dollar. And I went back to him. He says, oh, man, you know, we'll have to, you know, give you regular injections because this spot is a little bit bigger. So, you know, I started seeing him every 4 weeks, and he would inject it, and I was doing the cream. So this went on for a couple of years like this, you know, where it would fall out in little spots and come back and fall out again and come back. And I continued to do it's a steroid shot. It's a cortisone shot. And I didn't notice it. I didn't correlate the two at the time, but I was having a lot of adverse side effects from the cortisone shots. Not to mention that they're terribly, terribly painful. You know, if you can just imagine anybody injecting anything into your scalp, it's already a highly sensitive, that's a very sensitive part of the skin. And so when you take a needle and you're injecting, you know, a very powerful steroid into the scalp, it is very painful. I used to sit there literally, you know, holding my face, you know, trying not to cry as he was injecting me, especially if there were several spots that he was injecting. So that's my story. I started to lose my hair extremely aggressively, meaning that over 2/3 of my hair had fallen out at some point in 2011. And I, at that point, decided to shave my head completely, which I did. And I began to basically hide behind wigs and scarves and so forth. And it got to be it was a very traumatic experience for me, of course, because I had always had hair. And I was ashamed, you know. Not very many people know what alopecia is, and so there isn't a lot of understanding. And, you know, it's just not a socially acceptable thing, I think. Not that it's unacceptable, but most people just don't understand it, and you know, there's just not a lot of awareness about it. So I started to build up a lot of shame. I started to become somewhat of a recluse. Like, I didn't want to do the things that I used to do because the wig, you know, like I didn't want to go to the beach, you know, because I was like, oh, I don't want to get in the water because I can't really swim because my wig will come off. Or, you know, oh, I don't want to go to the pool because I don't want to swim because my wig will come off. Or at the time when I was still had enough hair to cover my bald spots, I definitely didn't want to do it because, you know, any little bit of water will displace the hair and maybe expose a bald spot, you know, and heavens forbid anybody know that I was losing my hair. And I don't really know, you know, looking back on it right now, I really don't know psychologically why I felt so bad about, or why I was so, I don't know, gung-ho about no one knowing about it. I don't know where the shame came from, but that I definitely developed a lot of shame. And I've noticed in a lot of the people that I've met that has alopecia, that they've had a similar experience where they've felt ashamed of losing their hair. They've felt like an outcast, or they've felt, you know, less than, that it has caused problems in their social life. Like, I did not date because I didn't want to have to explain to a man, you know, that my hair was falling out. I didn't think that was a very attractive trait, and who would want to date someone whose hair is falling out, you know? I felt this way, and I allowed it to take over my life for quite some time. And it wasn't until two things happened. I was looking in the mirror one day as I was thinking to myself, it's time for me to go ahead and shave all of this hair off. And that was even though, like I said, more than not of my hair was pretty much gone, you know, it seems like a no-brainer, right? more than not of my hair was gone. I still had enough, because my hair was long, I still had enough at the crown of my head, at the top of my head, that if I parted that down the center, I could still cover most of my ball, you know. So it was kind of crazy that I was still kind of reasoning with myself as, oh, well, maybe it'll come back if I just keep holding on. And one morning in the mirror, you know, I just said, you know, enough is enough, because I just don't like the person that I'm becoming. I just don't like this. And I shaved it off. The other thing that really, really helped me was two very important people at the time in my life. One was a man I had just recently met at the gym, because I'm big into fitness as well. And he had insisted on taking me out, and I went out with him, and I really, really liked him. But I was like, oh, man, but I can't date him because I'm losing my hair. You know, it sounds ridiculous even as I say it to you right now, Paul, but that's the way I felt. I was like, I can't have this relationship because he's going to know I'm losing my hair, and I can't have that. I had another person that I was working with. His name is Dana. And I had shared with him, you know, in confidence, my situation, you know, how my hair was falling out and everything. And it was those two people that basically told me that they didn't care if I had hair or not, you know, and that they thought that I was beautiful either way, that really helped me, you know. And it's unfortunate that I needed that from someone else, but that's what kind of helped me to start to... That's how I started to come to terms with the condition, and I started to learn to cope with it, and I started to find Christy again. I started to put myself back together again, you know?
Well, it's interesting. So in the very beginning, you noticed a spot in the back of your head. How did you notice it? Was it you or a friend told you? Or?
I think I was washing my hair. And, you know, when you have alopecia, when the hair falls out, it falls out literally from the follicle. So that place on my scalp was as smooth as a baby's bottom. Mm. You know, it was obvious that there was absolutely no hair, no fuzz, no nothing there. So it wasn't like where you can tell where you may have hair breakage, where it's like, oh, my hair is breaking in the spot. It was clear that there was absolutely no hair on that part of my scalp. So I think I noticed when I was washing my hair.
And what was the thought at that point? Were you worried, or were you just like, oh, that's odd, and maybe I better go check it out? Go ahead.
Well, like I said, it was such a small area. It was about the size of a dime, and I can remember getting the mirror and looking, you know, with the double mirror and looking at it at the back of my scalp and saying, I wonder how long that's been there, you know, because I didn't know how long it had even been there. It seemed... To me, it was like hair was there yesterday and it's not there today, which is literally what can happen with alopecia. It can happen. It can fall out that fast. Yeah. So I didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah. Would you say, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did you begin to become obsessed with hair at that point, or how long did it take you? Was it after you talked to the doctor, or... I would imagine at some point you begin to just think about hair, you know, I'm losing my hair, you know, how did that play out for you?
Yes. Obsession is the correct word, Paul. Obsession is the correct word. And I'll tell you, I started to, of course, when I got the diagnosis and I got that first round of injections, I went home and I got on the internet. And I tell you what, I was on the internet for hours reading about alopecia and, you know, looking for the cure and what caused it and how did I get this. And, you know, a friend of mine, you know, who has had hair loss but not due to alopecia, she was telling me, she was giving me some resources and stuff to look at. So I went into overdrive, literally. I tried everything. I tried holistic approaches. Over the course of a couple of years, 2 to 3 years, before I got to the point where I was bald or almost bald, I spent close to $20,000 I did special diets. I went to dietitians and holistic medicine doctors and got weird magic potions, and I did a lot with natural essential oils. I bought every vitamin that they said might help with hair. I did special diets. I did a raw food diet. I even tried vegan. I did juicing. Boy, you name it, I tried it. I went to, a lot of people have never heard of this term, but there's a certain thing, a person called a trichologist, which is a type of dermatology, kind of like a chiropractor is to a doctor. Trichologists, they don't have an MD, but they have special training in anything dealing with hair, and they're called a trichologist, and insurance does not pay for them, so you have to pay them cold, hard cash at the door, which is... So I went to a trichologist for about 6 months and paid him thousands and thousands of dollars for no results. I bought his product line, which was about $300 a month, you know, and vitamins and supplements and nutrients.
So it sounds like the truth is none of it really works right now, and it kind of helps you to get to, I mean, it's horrible because you had to spend $20,000 to get to the point where it's like, hey, you know what, I'm okay without hair. Because when I first met you, you didn't have hair. I mean, I saw a beautiful bald woman with confidence and a beautiful smile. And, you know, the first thing I thought was like, well, to be honest, you know, when you see people without hair, you think, oh, chemotherapy, a cancer patient, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, but I did also think, because I had, you know, my friend's mother as a child, she had alopecia, but she always wore a wig. And actually, mm-hmm. that word was never mentioned. Nothing was ever mentioned, but we knew, you know. Mm-hmm. And just out of respect, you know, we kind of just let that topic lie, but somehow I knew about it. And, but I think for the most part, people, that's the first thing they think is cancer. And, mm-hmm. like, I have an invisible disease. It's called, I have a seizure disorder. So when someone sees me, they don't know that I have a seizure disorder. But when someone like you, when you're out there with no hair, you're saying, look at, this is who I am, and you're not afraid. See, like, with my hidden disease, once someone finds out, there's a stigma in the old days when, you know, that. When someone heard you were epileptic, that's a form of a seizure disorder, you know, that was considered had a huge stigma regarding, you know, mental illness, different things, because mm-hmm. people didn't understand it. So that's why I'm so right. proud that you're here today to bring an awareness to what alopecia is. And, like, I don't know if the other listeners know, but you've been making videos on YouTube. What's your YouTube channel name?
It's Work with Christy.
Okay. If you go and visit Work with Christy, she has some great videos, you know, and she talks about what's been going on with her life. And I think that one of the great things that you said on there is that, yes, you especially with the children need treatment, but they don't need the injections, the pills, the creams. What they need is love. And they need to be taught about self-worth and self-esteem. And you're a beautiful role model for this. And to actually talk about it, to bring light to the subject, is exactly what the world needs. We need role models out there who aren't afraid. Because I think when you said you're a recluse, oh, I can't go out. And if I do go out, I have to, you know, look a certain way, and that, you know, in the media, mm-hmm. we hear about that with diet, you know, all the women, you know, you're supposed to be thin like the models. And I think finally we're breaking these stereotypes and saying, no, that's not true. I can be a powerful woman who doesn't have hair, or I am beautiful without hair and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just so proud of you and happy that you're sharing with us, you know, what this is like. Now, I have a question. Did you ever wear wigs before you had alopecia?
Other than for like Halloween or, you know, special occasions, no.
Yeah, because I have an African-American friend, and she wears wigs all the time, and she has so much fun. And so what's interesting is, like, you know, it seems like it's okay in society. Well, you can have fun with a wig, but when you actually wear a wig, you know, when you are hiding behind a wig, that when the self-esteem and the, again, you're in this period of being a recluse, it's difficult. But on the one video you're showing, the one wig line, you are having so much fun wearing the wig. And I think that's another part of this that I think should be talked about, is hair, no hair, just enjoy life. Don't let your life go away just because you have hair, you don't have hair. Have fun. And when you were wearing that wig, you were having fun in it.
Absolutely. But, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think go for it, whatever it is, either, you know, when I saw you, I saw confidence and I saw beauty. And anyway, I think you're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
We have another caller on the line. Let me see if she's still on. Her name is Laura from Florida.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. So you have alopecia as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And at what age did you begin to have alopecia?
It began when I was 16.
16? And tell us about your experience.
Well, mine was probably almost almost got lucky in that it was a kind of just ripping off a Band-Aid, and that mine fell out, went from just a couple of patches over my ears to I had no hair on my scalp whatsoever in this matter of 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through all the cortisone injections and the topicals and some light they call a PUVA light, UVA. I don't know what it stands for. But after about a year of feeling like basically a lab rat, I just gave up on the treatment and decided that if this is how God was going to leave me, that I could deal with it. And if I could deal with it, everyone else could deal with it. Would just have to, because I decided wigs were uncomfortable to me physically and made me even socially more uncomfortable than what I found out I felt like after I went out, just my natural state. So, and then I went through a phase where I despised wigs and I wouldn't wear them for any reason. And now I've gotten to more what I think is a more balanced point, where I can wear wigs for fun when I feel like it. And then on most 95% of the time, I just go around as I am without no wig, no hat. And there was a period of time in which I wouldn't leave the house without at least a baseball cap on. That was probably the first 5 years. And it took me a good solid 5 years to even fathom going out without trying to hide it in some way, shape, or form.
And do you feel you have a good support network, your friends? I mean, are they afraid to ask questions, or, you know, like Christy just said, she came, let the cat out of the bag. She says, you know, by the way, I have alopecia, and, you know, I think it's helpful, you know, if you could somehow let people know, or I don't know.
Actually, I mean, the good friends that were true friends stuck by me, and they love me regardless. So,
yeah.
And I've made more friends since I lost my hair than what I thought I had when I had hair. There's a lot of them were friends I thought I had that I didn't really have. And the hair went.
It's so interesting.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I guess at 16, people are more, I guess kids are just more, maybe fickle with words.
Yeah.
But I think if I've lost it 10 years later, then the quality of friends I've chosen wouldn't have abandoned me.
So I notice on Facebook there are many, many support groups and networks out there for people with alopecia, and there's a movement, you know, to bring awareness, and I think that's really great. But is that part about the true friends, you know, I had a seizure once, and about a month later, all my friends were going camping, and they said, come on, Paul, let's go camping. And I'm like, I can't go. I don't feel well. They're like, you're fine. You're fine. And I'm like, no, I'm not fine. I really should not go. But they kind of forced me to go. So I'm like, all right, I'll go. So I went, and we went camping, and on the second day, I not only had one seizure, I had two seizures. And
wow.
Out of the seven people on that trip, only two people ever talked to me again. Two out of seven. And, you know, it's horrible. So it's, I think, great that when we can all be honest and we can, talk about things and have an awareness of these things, that you really do know who your true friends are. And, you know, Christy, when you were talking about being a recluse, you're at home, and, you know, as far as dating, it was just not really an option. And then there, you know, you had your friend at the gym, you know. So today, I mean, have you found that there are people who actually like your lack of hair? I mean, I think that there's actually a subculture of people that are attracted to that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Paul, it all goes back, you know, to a lot of the self-development that I've been doing. And so much of what you get back from people has to do with what you give off. And I think that when you are blessed and confident in yourself, and you are unsure, you're uncertain about yourself, and you don't exude that confidence, then, you know, people self-consciously pick up on that. And so what I have found that I have, you know, personally accepted it. That really quiet. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Since I've personally accepted the condition, and I've, you know, gotten that confidence in myself to, like she said, where I can go out and I don't have to have on a hat, a wig, a scarf, or anything, you know, and I can smile at the world. I can smile back at the world even when the world isn't smiling at me because they're wondering why I don't have hair. You know, I have found that I get an overwhelming response, you know. Almost every time I go out, somebody will say, really nice, you know, I really like you without hair. I was surprised, personally, I was surprised at the number of men, you know, in a very respectful way, you know, to say, I like your hair. It's funny because they say, I like your hair.
Right.
I always think that's so funny, you know, because everybody will be like, oh, I love your hair. I was like, what hair? There's hair up there? There should be. I get a lot of people, you know, I think just based off of me being kind of open about it and being able to smile and speak to people and, you know, try to make people laugh and happy, that I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable, you know, around me. And that's why I am very open about it. And, you know, it doesn't bother me if people ask questions. And I love children, you know, because children are just, they're just so pure and honest. And I'll all the time get children that will come up and ask me, lady, where's your hair? You know, and I'll do the same thing. I'll say, my hair is gone? There's no hair up there? You know, and make light of it. And I think that when I do that, it kind of breaks down those barriers, you know, those emotional barriers and those social barriers, you know, that are invisible to us but are very much there. It breaks it down and it makes it okay now. Because even the last time that happened to me in a grocery store where some little boy, you know, comes up and he tugs on me and he says, lady, what happened to your hair? You know, or even it was, what happened to your hair, or why don't you have hair, or something. This kid must have been about 5 or 6. And before I answered him, I looked up to look for a parent because there was no parent, like, in my peripheral vision. And I was like, is this child lost? And, of course, I see his mother, you know, coming down the aisle looking for him. And I was like, I got him. He's right here. I'll hold on to him. And, you know, I joked with him. And so she heard or caught on to the conversation that we were having as she was walking up. And she was instantly embarrassed, like, her cheeks were red. She was instantly embarrassed that her son was asking me. And I told her, I was like, oh, it's not a problem. You know, I don't mind talking about it. And I think it's because she probably initially thought I was sick. You know, she probably thought I was going through chemotherapy or something like that. And she was embarrassed that her little boy had come over and kind of, I guess, added insult to injury or put salt on a wound or something like that. And she was so relieved, you know, when I smiled at her and I told her, I was like, oh, no, I'm not sick. You know, I have alopecia. When I smiled and said that, she was just so relieved. You know, I could see the relief from her face. You know, but she didn't have to feel bad, basically, you know, about what had happened to her son. But There are a lot of people, you know, of course, it's not for everybody and everybody doesn't like it. And a lot of, I won't call them friends, but a lot of people that I've encountered, you know, ask me, why don't you just wear a wig? You know, why to walk around like that? And I think that is just the weirdest thing ever. Like, why would you want someone, why would you think someone about being anything other than what they are or who they are, you know? I wear wigs. I have several. I probably have about 6 or 7 of them upstairs. And, you know, depending on what the occasion is, I may wear a wig or I may not. I particularly don't like wearing them for more than a couple of hours at a time because they're uncomfortable to me. You know, they're not the most comfortable things. And, you know, I tend to have a smaller than usual head, especially with no hair on it. So my wigs are always kind of big, and I'm afraid they're going to fall off. Even when I adjust them in the back with the clips, you know, they never seem to fit just right for me. So that's why 99% of the time you see me, I don't have on a wig, you know. But every now and then, if I go to a big shindig, and you know, like you said, it's an accessory. It's like a hat. You know, am I going to wear a hat today or no? You know. So for me, it's fun. You know, again, and I can do it. I can wear it, and I love wearing wigs. I love coming out on wigs after someone already knows I'm bald because they're looking at me like, is that Christy? You know, just to see the look on their face of the different looks that I'm able to achieve, you know, by wearing wigs is a lot of fun for me. So that's how I use it. I just use it as an accessory.
That's great. Now, did you used to do bodybuilding? I think I saw pictures of you.
Yes.
Yes.
I did.
Go on.
Yeah, I did amateur figure contests, and I want to get back into that, but right now I'm focused. I have a tendency to be a little over-ambitious. So right now I'm focused solely on getting my online business started. So that's my focus now, but eventually, yes, I want to get back into my hobby of doing figure contests and bodybuilding contests.
Now, was that prior to the alopecia or during, or what stage were you doing the bodybuilding?
It was smack dab in the middle, as a matter of fact. My first season of bodybuilding was 2011, and 2011 is when I shaved my head. So it began to be very challenging for me then because I was going to the gym most days, twice a day. I was going to the gym twice a day, 5 days a week. And, you know, sweating and all of that, it was difficult to manage my hair. And to manage the cover-up was getting increasingly difficult. And that was another thing that kind of drove me to, you know, I'm not going to give up. I love fitness. I love health and wellness. And I loved bodybuilding at the time. I still do. I just love, not necessarily bodybuilding, but I just love going to the gym, you know, and keeping myself in good working condition. And I was like, I'm not going to allow this thing, you know, called alopecia to take this away from me, you know. because it was getting to the point where I would be in the dressing room with other women, and I would go in the stall, I would go in into a toilet stall to take off my bandana, because I would wear a bandana when I was working out, and then put my wig on, and I would come out with the wig on so that no one would have to see me bald, you know?
Yeah.
It was getting to be such a hassle to manage it, because it was like, okay, I've got to make, and then sometimes I would forget, my wig. Like, I would pack my clothes for work and go to the gym before work in the morning because I wouldn't be able to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get to the gym and I would be unpacking my bag to go work out, and I would realize, oh no, I forgot my wig.
So, right. So now you don't have that problem.
Yeah. Because now I don't have that problem.
Yeah. You're like, well, I don't need that wig. Well, I have a question. So someone who's just discovering they have alopecia and they're going to the doctor, you know, you spent $20,000 plus on lotions and potions, cures and notions, you know, with
right.
no results. And, I mean, would you just tell them, skip it? Or go for it if that's what your thing is. I mean, what's your advice for the person that's new to alopecia?
Honestly, I would say skip it. You know, there is no cure for alopecia. Now, some people don't have as drastic a... Some people's, you know, diagnosis with alopecia is not nearly as drastic as mine's and, you know, millions of others that, you know, end up being completely bald like myself or... you know, having totalis where they lose hair on their entire body. There's lots of different, you know, there's a lot in between some hair loss and all hair loss. There's a lot of different variations in between. And like I said, in the beginning, the treatments that I was getting, the steroids, they were effective. You know, my hair did grow back. But alopecia is such a sophisticated disease, you know, it realizes that you're trying to suppress the immune system in one place, because that's exactly what the steroid is doing, is it's suppressing the immune system. It's keeping the immune system from killing the hair follicles. So it says, oh, she's suppressing me here. I'm going to go here. And it just moves, it moseys on to another part of your scalp. Now, for some people, that doesn't happen. I understand that some people have alopecia, and they may have an occurrence of it once or twice in their life, you know. I guess it's to each its own, Paul. You know, I really can't say. I'm definitely not medically qualified to tell people to not. But I just know that taking those drugs, especially for a young child, a steroid is a terribly, terribly dangerous chemical to pump in your body at any time. But to pump it into a child, you know, for a child to be taking steroids just for, you know, for alopecia. Now, if you're taking steroids because, you know, you've been sick, you have pneumonia, and you need to strengthen your lungs in a hurry, you know, there are some acceptable, you know, diagnosis or reasons that people take steroids, and it's to keep them alive. And I'm not saying, you know, don't take it then, but I'm saying as far as for alopecia and, you know, a condition of inconvenience and a condition that you are otherwise healthy and there's nothing medically, you know, wrong, I just don't agree with taking it, you know. If I could go back and do it again, I certainly would have saved my $20,000 or something more rewarding.
Right.
One, and two, I would have saved myself the headaches. I would have saved myself the night sweats. I would have saved myself the heart palpitations. I would have saved myself the upset stomach. I would have saved myself all of the nasty side effects that you can get from taking those things. I would have saved myself from all of it, you know?
Yeah. Now, at this point, I mean, you know, you're obsessed before. You still think about it. I mean, it's obviously part of your life. But do you think you have comfort now and you realize that this is who I am and, you know, you're more settled with it?
Yeah, I'm extremely comfortable with it now. And I just, you know, if my hair grows back one day and I have a head of hair, will I be happy? Sure. I would welcome hair back on my head. You know, I liked it. Like I said, I'm a girly girl, so I like, you know, girly girl things, and going and getting my hair done was something that I enjoyed. But if I never grow another strain of hair on top of my head, Paul, I will not be any less happy, you know?
Yeah.
I am
and
still
I know
me.
You. I know you as a confident, happy, just, you know, your energy is just so, you know, strong and beautiful that I don't think it, I mean, to me, if you grew hair, I could care less. I mean, but I'm thinking of like you and your business and what you do to help people. I know you have your motivational coach and you work with women to help empower them to build their own businesses and to, and men as well. But, you know, really, I know you work with a group of women where you support one another. And I would just, I think I told you before, I'm kind of jealous that I'm not a woman because, you know, to have someone like you who's so, you know, just motivating for me, I love it. And I love that you're my friend. So tell me, you know, what, how the other women, how you're interacting with them and how that your business is working, you know, and how you support one another.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes I honestly think that God intended for me to be this way. God intended, he sent me alopecia, and it made me grow as a person. It made me stop being so selfish and so into myself, you know, that I was so worried about, oh, my hair, oh, my hair, oh, my this, oh, my that. It made me start to focus more on others. It made me, you know, a lot more conscious of others. And my business, you know, is an asset to me in what I do. One, because people are always wanting to hear my story. You know, people are very interested in what I have to say, which is a blessing, you know. that's a blessing for me. And I encounter so many women, you know, in my line of work that come to me and they have, you know, professionally, and they want some help with getting started, you know, making money online, or be it, you know, from a self-help, you know, standpoint of that they're just trying to better themselves as a person, or, you know, even if it's just a friend that's asking for, you know, something like relationship advice or whatever it is. I get an overwhelming amount of support from other women. You know, I've gotten, just this week since I did the alopecia campaign on YouTube, I got so many well-wishers, you know, beautiful words that people sent me, you know, telling me thank you for doing the videos, and thank you for raising the awareness, and thank you for being so open about it. You know, people have been so appreciative to me, and I'm so appreciative to their response. It has definitely, you know, been a blessing to me personally and professionally, because I'm able to use my natural organic, you know, talents, you know, and alopecia is definitely not a talent, but that condition, which is uniquely mine, I'm able to leverage it. I'm able to leverage it, you know, to my success, and I think that that's a beautiful thing. You know.
Well, and I think that, you know, at one point there had to be one moment when you said, "Okay, I'm taking the wig off and I'm stepping out," and I would just think that that moment was the moment when the confidence, when you became Christy, when it's no longer about how you look, but it's about, this is who I am, and people can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see, that beautiful confidence that makes you successful in your business. And I think that you're teaching the other women and the men that you work with how to find themselves and to go out and to share that with others. And you empower one another and you work together to be successful. And so I'm just so impressed, and I just think that you are a role model, and you're teaching people just things that everyone needs to learn, regardless of alopecia or not. So hopefully people can connect to you on Facebook And what's your primary website that people should contact you on?
Yes, well, my website is ChristyHoward.com. I'm bringing it up now. It's not completely populated, but it is up and live. And you can definitely go there and check out my blog. I have several products that I put out on a regular basis. They're all inspirational, motivational type products, wealth affirmations, which I'm working on. I'm working on my personal relationship with money right now. So I do affirmations daily to help me to fix my negative relationship with money and how I feel about, you know, making money and amassing wealth. So I have that product there. I have another product which is called the Positive Word for the Day. And it is just a positive word that I pick out and give you a definition, and then I apply it. I try to apply it, you know, to my life and why that word is so important, because I felt like, you know, so much of what our subconscious mind picks up is what we speak, you know, what we speak into existence and what we hear. And I want to be the most positive person possible, and I felt like I needed to work on my vocabulary, you know, to do that, because not that I don't, a lot of these words are words that you already know, but I try to bring some significance to them. You know, words that you already know, like tenacity or abundance or prosperity. It's like, okay, yeah, I've heard of the word prosperity. I can use it in a sentence even. But do you understand the significance and the beauty behind the word prosperity? You know, I think I did a video and I was like, even saying the word prosperity, 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 it makes me smile. It's such a beautiful word. And, you know, so I did a word of the day to bring significance to words that you probably already have in your vocab and you know of, but maybe you don't use them, or maybe you don't understand the significance behind them and how they can change your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So ChristyHoward.com. I also have a pretty big presence on Facebook, and my Christy is spelled with a K, guys. It's not C, so it's KRISTIE. So Christy.N.Howard is how you can get me on Facebook, and I spend a lot of time on Facebook. Facebook is my main marketing tool for my online business. So I live in your computer. I'm always on Facebook, either through my phone, through my laptop, through my iPad. Facebook is probably the social media tool that I use the most. I'm also on Twitter. That's my second tool that I use the most. So you can tweet to me at Christy N. Howard, no dots, just Christy N. Howard. You can email me. I'm everywhere. You can email me at ChristyNHoward@gmail.com. And let's see, where else can you find me? I'm on LinkedIn. So anywhere that you kind of Google Christy Howard, you'll find me. I have a blog out there too. So my blog is, empowernetwork.com/work-in-progress. Because I feel like I am a work in progress. I'm continually growing, evolving, and changing into a better version of me. So I oftentimes write under the tag name Work in Progress.
Well, and I know, you know, we've talked about future shows, and I definitely want to invite you back. I really, again, your energy is incredible. Your smile is beautiful. And, you know, we need more Christie. All right, so will you come back someday?
I would love to come back, Paul. You have just been such a blessing ever since I met you that day sitting there waiting on food.
Yeah, we were at this hotel, and the service was so slow, and the hotel was huge, but the restaurant was tiny, and they couldn't really support everyone there. But Christy and I, you know, that's how we got to talk, and it was just really a great moment. Let's check back in with Laura and see if she has any final comments. Hi, Laura. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so tell me, any words of wisdom for the listeners out there?
I think just these words of learning to exude confidence as a woman are so wise. And it is a learning process you go through, and you just have to get used to getting double takes and things like that. But I found her videos very, very inspiring.
Great, that's good to hear. And well, I hope if this show is being saved, so it'll be out there. If you have any friends out there who, you know, need to hear about alopecia, you know, and maybe you have alopecia and you're interested in knowing more, maybe you can contact Christy. And I'm just getting started having this talk show, and I basically want to be like the Ann Landers or Dear Abby, since there is no male version of Dear Abby and Ann Landers, and both of them have passed on. Actually, my grandmother, she was classmates with them. I don't know if you know, but they were twins, Dear Abby and Ann Landers. They were twins.
I did not know that.
Yes, and so she went to high school with them. And I don't know, for some reason I always loved them, and I would like this show to kind of be like that, where people can call in and learn from people like you, Christy, but also, you know, if they have personal questions and, you know, have just a friend who can be there for them. And so we'll try to have regular meetings. I haven't worked out the schedule yet, but definitely we'd like to have topical meetings, or just maybe sometimes just a standard. Anybody can call in and talk about any topic they want. Last week we had someone call in. We were talking about living your life in balance. And if you look at my prior show, I was a free member at that point. We only had 30 minutes. And that 30 minutes flew by. And I've asked the gentleman to call back. And someday I'll finish that show with him, because I use a tool called the Life Balance Wheel, where we look at each segment of our life. So like our finances, our relationships, our spirituality, mm-hmm. our health, et cetera. And you say, how satisfied am I right now today with these different aspects of who I am? And then, you know, some things we're more happy with or more satisfied, and other things, you know, we're really disappointed or unsatisfied. And mm-hmm. so with this tool, we can use it to look. It's just a way to figure out where should we be focusing our attention on. And so anyway, if you haven't had a chance, go back and listen to the first episode. There's actually a picture of the Life Balance Wheel. And hopefully the other caller's name was Paul. We'll get him back on the line and we'll finish that. And then that tool I think everybody should use. And then so you take kind of a snapshot of who you are today. So like if you have alopecia, that could be one of the things you are. How satisfied am I with my life as someone with alopecia or someone with a seizure disorder like myself? And then it's like, well, if you're not satisfied, how can we set some goals? And is it talking to people like Christy, who can help you, you know, get out of the mindset of being so obsessed and focused on hair? And, you know, there's so many things that you can do to have a healthier lifestyle. And we're not mm-hmm. talking about, you know, I'm not a doctor. We're just being friends and having a support network. And that's what I would kind of like to develop here on this show. And so hopefully everyone, you know, can come back someday. And, you know, so Christy, any final comments?
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate you and being able to come on and fellowship with you like this. And, you know, just even the days leading up to the show and talking to you, I've really, you know, enjoyed getting to know you. And it just goes to show you folks the power of the Internet. You know, a lot of people, you know, say bad things about the Internet and they, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, Facebook is evil or the Internet is evil or, you know, whatever the case may be. But a lot of people out there are using the Internet to do amazing and very worthwhile work. And they are changing the lives of people, you know, one mouse click at a time, you know. And you know, just to know that right now I'm sitting here, you know, in my living room and I'm talking to one to you, Paul, and you're all the way, you're on the other side of the country in California, and I'm in Northern Virginia, and we have Laura who's called in from Florida. I just think that's amazing. You know,
yeah.
It's amazing that, you know, we can just bring whomever we want to right into the comfort of our home, and we can leverage each other and we can leverage the internet to make this world a better place, you know?
Definitely.
And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. So I thank you. I thank you, Laura. I thank everyone who's listening and who will listen in the future if this is a recording for you when you listen to it. Just if you're on the internet a lot, and maybe you are if you're listening to this Blog Talk radio station, just try to find a way, you know, in your own special way to give back to the world and to society, you know, to make this thing we call the internet a better place, because I'll tell you, that's where everything is going, you know. Everything is going online, and we have to make sure that we put the same love, care, attention, devotion into making it a safe and warm and welcoming place for the generations to come as possible, you know.
And what we've seen, it's also an educational opportunity.
Yes.
That is, you know, so it's the outreach is just incredible. And so, and as far as getting a hold of me, I'm obviously here on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm also on Facebook. My username is AskTallPaul. And Tall Paul, if you haven't seen me, which you probably haven't, only Christy's seen me, I am 6'7". Which is pretty darn tall. And
yes,
one of my friends is called Big Polly, and I'm like, well, you're not so big, you know. 6'7", really big.
I had 6'3", and I thought that was tall.
Yeah. So anyway, my website is asktallpaul.com. And again, Facebook would be AskTallPaul. So if you'd like, we can be friends there and keep in touch. If you have any ideas for future shows, let me know. My email's asktallpaul@gmail.com. And I guess that's it for now. Any last closing comments, anybody?
No, not for me, Paul.
All right. Laura, everything okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one thing that I would like to see more of, and as far as wig selection is, it seems like they always make only the petite size. I have a small head size too. These petite size caps in short style, short crop styles, and it seems like they don't think people with that want longer style hair when they were in a wig are going to have a petite size head. So I can never find long wigs and petite size caps, so that frustrates me a lot. But and that's my final only thing I've got left.
Well, maybe that's a new invention.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've been working on, you know, I'm so busy, Paul. I've got 20,000 projects in my mind, and I'm starting to just record them down. But that very thing, Laura, I've been, I have been brainstorming on how I could come out with one, a hat line, because I don't think there's enough stylish hats, because in the wintertime I have to have a hat on all the time because I'm so cold, you know, and if you don't have hair, your head, you know, that's one of the main places that the body loses heat in cold weather, so it can be very, very uncomfortable if you're not properly clothed, if you don't have something on your head in the wintertime. And I like to look stylish, so I would like to find, you know, more stylish hats that fit me, because when I buy a hat straight off the shelf right now, I have to do things to it to alter it to fit my head, because my head, you know, the circumference of my head is rather small without hair on it. So, yeah, I actually have something in the works. So if anybody out there listens to this show and you know, because I know nothing about the process of getting a product online, I have a few ideas for designs, and I could use some mentorship and some pointers on how to go about getting an idea, how to manifest an idea into something that you could get in the store or on a website.
All right, we have 30 seconds. I just wanted to close out to thank you both for being online. And for everyone who's listening, welcome, and we hope to have you come back very soon. And, you know, I like to say that I love my life. I have a lot of happiness and joy, and I think it's important to do that with your friends, and you know, let's have fun together. You know, if
yes.
you're sad, if you're sad and miserable and need a friend, come back and let's, you know, I'll connect. All right. So take care, everyone, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, Christy.
Bye-bye, everybody.